Well, we're continuing in our series through Ephesians and with the title, Who We Are and Why We Are Here. Today's message is from Ephesians 4, starting in verse 22 through 25. Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its sinful, deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." What we think determines what we do, right? "Made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Let's pray together. God, we thank you that once again we get to hear from you, that you are speaking. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us through other believers. You speak to us, to our hearts through your spirit. And we thank you, but most of all, you speak through your word. We thank you that we get to hear from the God who loves us, who gave his son on our behalf, so that we can have eternal life both now and forevermore. And God, we pray that we would see another installment of your grace through your word now, and that we can grow in that grace as we learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to open today saying a word, and I want you to focus not so much maybe on the word, but on how that word, what I say, these two syllables, what they cause you to feel, how they cause you to feel. And no, this is not a psychological test. But I just want you to go to say to yourself, by yourself, how this makes you feel. This word, two-syllable word, here it comes. The word donut. Donut, yes, you heard me right. You don't have to adjust your TV. I just started a sermon with the word donut. Now, what does that make, how does that make you feel? Now, unless you had some kind of tragic event with a donut, or maybe you even had a tragic event with a donut tire, I'm sure this word brings pleasant thoughts to you. Maybe you think of sinking your teeth into a Boston cream from Dunkin' Donuts, or maybe a glazed donut from Krispy Kreme, or possibly a chocolate cake donut from Des Moines' best-kept secret, Donut King. Well, whatever comes to your mind, whoever, whatever kind of donut, I'm sure it just brings something delight. It just brings delight, joy to your soul, a feeling of pleasure, maybe. Now I'm going to say another combination of two syllables, and I don't think it'll quite get the same response or elicit the same kind of feeling. Maybe instead of something that will cause you to enjoy, maybe it'll think of something that you're going to have to endure. Well, these two syllables are not donut, but do not. Do not. When we hear those two words, do not, we automatically think something good is going to be withheld from us. And since there are so many donuts or do nots in the Bible, we tend to think God is just the robber of all joy. You know, maybe Mr. Rogers on steroids, who nicely and pleasantly just wants to make our lives difficult and take something from us, that wants our lives to be something to endure rather than to enjoy. Well, negative commands like that, do not, we call these negative commands, do not commands in scriptures, as opposed to do commands, which are positive commands that say, do this. Those are the positive commands. Now, the negative do nots, these are not negative because they produce something negative. No, they're negative because of how they are grammatically composed. And if we look at Sinai, you know, when Moses got the commandments and the top 10 that we know, the 10 commandments, he didn't just get 10 commandments. He got more than 10. How many was it? Do you know how many it was? It was about 30? About 70 maybe? About 200? Try about 600. 613 commandments given to Moses at Sinai. Now, do you know how many of those were positive ones, like for example, worship the Lord your God and serve him only, just 248. That means out of the 613, if 613 minus 248, that leaves 365. So 365 negative commands, do not commands. That's one for each day of the year, right? Now, with that being said, and with our inclination to feel something good is being withheld from us, when we hear those two words, do not, we are likely to think God and all his do nots, that he is someone to be avoided, try to avoid him more than COVID-19. But why? Why would the creator of the universe, who gave us life and who worked diligently, he worked diligently to create every single one of us. Psalm 139:14 shows that. It says, I praise you, why? Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit us together in our mother's womb, and when he did it fearfully. That word fearfully means with great reverence, great diligence, hard work, a lot of thought. He didn't just throw us together. He put a lot of work. He worked fearfully and wonderfully making you. He did that when you were in the womb. And after that, why would he not want to give us all good things? Why would he want to rob life from us? That word fearfully, think about it, that word fear, what's the beginning of wisdom? As Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is what? To fear the Lord, to do it, not be afraid of the Lord, but be afraid of not taking the Lord seriously, or be afraid of treating something so special or someone so special as if they were nothing. So when God fearfully and wonderfully made us, you know, he did it without, he didn't want to make one mistake. He put a lot of thought into it. And like I said, why would he, after so much diligent hard work, not want to give us all good things? Why would he want to try to take life from us with his negative commands, or positive ones even? Especially after he gave his one and only son, showing that he'd go to any length to bless us. Why would he withhold any good thing from us? Or in the words of Paul, Romans 8:32, who said, he, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things, all good things? Or when Jesus himself, who was speaking of prayer and speaking to fathers, and he said, you fathers, even though you're in a way imperfect, sinful, you still give good gifts to your children. What father doesn't want to give good things to their children? He says, how much more, even though you're imperfect and evil, that's what he calls it, just a way of saying that they're not quite whole. He says, even though you're imperfect, even though you're evil, how much more your Father in heaven, who is perfect, who is complete, who is love himself, how much more would he not give good gifts to those who ask him? When we read the do nots in Scripture, we tend to foolishly think God wants to shrink our lives or take away something from our lives. When we hear a do not from God, we also hear the echo of Eden that comes with it. What echo is that? Satan's echo, the one he used with Adam and Eve. See, God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he put that in the garden, and he gave them a do not. He gave Adam and Eve a do not so that their relationship with God would be even more meaningful. That love, that word love, would have meaning because they had a choice to love and obey God. See, they had an opportunity to resist that tree, and that do not was going to lead them to something even greater, but they chose to do. And how did the tempter get them to do that? They said, God doesn't... he just doesn't want you to know good and evil. He doesn't want you to know, he doesn't want you to be like him. Or in a way, he's saying, God is withholding something from you. That he's not good. He doesn't care about you. And but before we say, Adam and Eve, how dumb could you guys, how dumb could you be to forfeit paradise? Well, we got to be careful, because every time that we hear a do not, and then we do and disobey, we're thinking God, we're believing that echo, that God is withholding something, are we not? We're saying God is not enough. He said, don't do this, but I'm going to do this because I think God is withholding something good from me, so I'm going to do it. Or we take Jesus' words when Jesus said the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. We switch that around and in a way say Jesus, the good shepherd, came to kill, steal, and destroy, thinking that his commands are robbing us of life, especially his negative commands. But Jesus backed up his words. He said, the good shepherd, me, I lay down my life. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And did he not do that? He showed that he wants the best for us because he laid down his life for us to take it up again, to rise again. But he showed us that he wants us to have abundant life, which is found in him and following his commands, both positive and negative ones. Well, today we continue in our study through the book of Ephesians. And so far, the first three chapters that we looked at really focus a lot on our identity in Christ. Like our title says, Ephesians, knowing who we are, our identity in Christ, and what we should do, our behavior. So we move into the latter chapters that focus not on identity, but focus on what we are to do. First three chapters, who you are, and that's to shape and guide what we do. So we go now, we're having a shift. We shifted in Ephesians 4, which started out about preserving the unity. As a child of God, the first thing we read about as far as behavior is preserving that unity. Shows how important unity in the body is to God. And so, now we go into more specifics. We get now into kind of the more negative commands. And so, like I read, to put off the old way of living and put on the new. Put the new clothing on. Get rid of those old rags. Put on the new clothing. But then that's actually more general. As I continue to read, we ended with this. Do not lie to each other, but speak truthfully. Do not steal. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So that's specific, very specific, and negative, those negative commands. And why would Paul start to get specific here? Well, because the Holy Spirit wants to get specific with us so that we can grow in his grace, so that we can have those possessions that we spoke about in the first three chapters, so that we can possess all of our possessions, so we can take hold of them and make them a reality in our lives. And in order for that to happen, God has to get specific. Because like the devil, right, when the devil speaks about sin and he's general to accuse us and discourage us, he just says, you're no good. You're a sinner and you always will be. Well, that's general. You don't know where to attack. But when it's specific, like the Holy Spirit, he points it out and lets you know, yes, right here, you're eating too much. Right here, you're opening too many bottles. Right here, you're opening your mouth too much and gossiping. Right here, you're manipulating people. He gets specific so that we can grow in his grace and take possession of those possessions, so that we know what we're fighting against. Like a good oncologist, right, who tells us right where the cancer is so that it can be taken care of. Because that is what love does. See, the world thinks that love, if I love somebody, I'm just going to let them live however they want, even though it's a destructive life and hurting them and other people. Well, God accepts us. He accepts us as we are. God loves us as we are, right? But he loves us too much to let us stay that way. If I love you and I see something destructive in your life, a sinful habit that needs to go, I'm going to lovingly confront you in the right way, of course, even though it might be hard for me to do. I'm going to lovingly confront you so that will stop ruining your life. Or, and I hope you would do the same with me. Those that love me, they're going to confront me saying, you need to stop. This is not doing anything good for you, and I really care about you. Well, today we see three do nots. And it's interesting because these three do nots are specific for preserving unity. They help for us to preserve that unity that Paul just spoke about, that Dan and Doug preached about. You know why? Because God, when he gives us a job, like preserve the unity, he doesn't just give us a job, but he gives us instructions for the job and tools to finish the job. So the first one, he says, to help preserve that unity, do not lie. Do not lie. He says, in a way, he has an interesting way of saying it, put off all falsehood, for we are members of one body. Now, why would he say that? Members of one, but what does lying have to do with being part of the body? Why say that? Well, think about this. Think about a physical body. A physical body, let's say the nerves in our bodies. The nerves relayed the wrong messages to the brain. Maybe saying something like, you know, your hand touches something hot and it tells your brain that it's cold. Now that can be destructive for sure. You burn your whole entire hand off, and those very nerves that convey the message will be destroyed as well. Just like us, for us that partake in the body, for us in the body who lie, you might think it's affecting the other people. Really, it's affecting us. It's hurting us who are part of the body. And so Paul says, "Do not lie to each other, but because you're a part of one body." And so telling truth, speaking truth, promotes unity by way of trust. Because we can trust one another and we can draw closer together and honor God. Well, the second do not here is do not steal. But work hard and give. When I steal, when I rob from others, I rob myself of blessing. I rob myself spiritually. I rob my soul of the blessing God wants to give me. And Paul says here, don't steal any longer, but do this. Work hard and give so that you can help others that are in need. For when we are givers, when we're givers, we're acting like our Creator. We're creating God's image, who is the greatest giver of all time. And we're walking in the eternal life. We're walking in the dust of his footprints, and we're finding out what real life is really all about, right? He's a giver, and I think you guys probably know, probably more than I do, that it's better to give than it is to receive, as Jesus said. You know, it's okay to receive, not if it's from stealing. It's okay to receive, but Jesus said it's better. It's better to give than to receive. Just do it. See what it does within your soul when you are generous. So when being generous rather than stealing, but working to make money to help those in need and giving, that's going to produce unity. That's going to bring people closer together. Has anybody, when someone gave you a gift, a nice gift, did that draw you further away from them or did it draw you closer? All right, lastly, the third do not hear. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That word unwholesome, think about this. The word whole, what does whole mean? To be whole. Well, to be whole is to be complete. Therefore, to be unwhole is to be incomplete. So when I speak words, unwholesome words, what are the words of gossip, words of slander, inappropriate jokes? When I speak unwholesome words, where are those coming from? They're not coming from wholeness. They're not coming from completeness. They're coming from imperfection. They're coming from sin. They're coming from a lack. Something is lacking, right? You know, it's interesting because Jesus was, he talked about what makes us clean and what makes us unclean, right? And he says, it's not what goes into your body that makes you clean. It's what, or what makes you unclean, but it's what comes out of your body. What comes out of your mouth, he says, what is what makes you unclean. And just think about this. When you gossiped about that person, or you spoke ill about that person, or slandered, or you shared that inappropriate joke that you wouldn't share in church. When you did that, did that make you feel whole when you did that? No, it didn't. It makes you feel like you actually lost something. Because when we speak words like that, like as Jesus said, it makes us unclean. It reveals incompleteness, really. So, but when I do speak the right words, you know, Paul says to speak words that build others up instead. And what's that do? It draws us closer to one another. It draws, when I speak words of encouragement to you, in comparison, in contrast to words of unwholesome talk that grieve the spirit, when I speak words of encouragement or uplifting words, that brings me closer to the Spirit and brings us closer to the Spirit, promoting unity in the body. Well, if you notice, every single one of these three commands here in Ephesians 4, each and every do not is followed up with a do. As you can see on the screen there, usually we say the do's and don'ts of so and such and such. Well, this is the don'ts and do's. We see three don'ts: do not lie, and the do is speak truth. Do not steal, and then Paul says work instead and give. Do not speak unwholesome words, and instead speak words that build others up. For God knows, why would God put a do after that? Because God knows the best way to kick a bad habit is to replace it. It's to replace it with a good habit. And pretty much, if you notice, the Christian life is that. Replacing bad habits with something that is better. Not so much about refusal, but more about replacement. Christ's replacement. Christ in us, replacing us. And what is the greatest commandment? Is the greatest commandment a negative command? Is it, do not worship other gods? Do not commit idolatry? Is the greatest commandment, fear the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? No. It is love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, being, cell phone, wallet, everything you have. Love the Lord with it. And that's where you're going to find life. That's where you're going to find what life is all about, in loving God. And when you see a do not, you're going to get excited and say, oh, what's next? Well, God is going to, he's got something. No, he's not taking something from me, but he has something for me. And the more I'm loving God, the less tempted I am to give in to the lesser things. St. Augustine, he first started out, he was seeking to steal. Like you may have seen Despicable Me, right? Gru. Now, why does Gru like to steal so much? Because of the thrill. He gets the thrill out of it. Well, St. Augustine, he was stealing just for the thrill. He didn't need the things that he was stealing. He needed the thrill. He was trying to fill that void in his heart that only God can fill. And he found out that left him feeling empty. And then he turned to women and sexual intercourse outside of marriage. And that left him feeling empty. Then he turned to arguing philosophical views that made him feel smart, but it left him feeling empty. Until he met Jesus. And he found the meaning of life. And people asked him, Augustine, what is your secret? What is the secret to being so committed to God? And he says this: love God and do as you please. And what he means by that is when you're loving God as God has called you to, as God has says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, when we're doing that, the things that we do, that do please us, are the things of God. And we've found our satisfaction in him, and we don't have to address our need in a sinful way. And that's what brings us to our sermon title today. Our sermon title is Glutton for God. Romans 13, 14 says, do not gratify the desires of the flesh. You think of, you know, gratifying the desires of the flesh. You think of indulging in the flesh, the sinful flesh, gluttony, if you would say. Instead of being gluttons of the flesh, of the sinful flesh, let us be gluttons of God. Instead of desiring, gratifying the desires of the flesh, let us gratify the desires of God under God's command, under God's way, who created us and knows the best way. And finding our delight, doing so, we will find our delight in him, in which there is no substitute. And as the psalmist and Peter said as well, we'll taste by obeying God and loving him with all our hearts. We'll taste him and we'll see for sure he is good. Well, I'm going to close here with an article, as I often like to do. The World Puzzle Championship says that the World Puzzle Championship takes place every year at locations around the globe. In 2012, the event was held in Croatia and drew 145 contestants from 26 countries. According to an article in Time magazine, these connoisseurs of puzzles eat, dream, and on rare occasions, even when they sleep, they dream about puzzles. They're the true fanatics and geniuses of the puzzle world. But the article also noted that hundreds of millions of people around the world do crossword puzzles. They do Sudoku. They participate in puzzles on their computers, on phones, on tablets, jigsaw puzzles. Why are so many puzzles so popular around the globe? Well, Will Shortz, he says, he's a crossword editor of the New York Times, and he says, NPR, he says, we're faced with problems every day in life, and we almost never get clarity. We jump into the middle of a problem, we carry it through to whatever extent we can define the answer, and then we just find the next thing. But with a human-made puzzle, you have the satisfaction of being completely in control. You start the challenge from the beginning, and you move all the way to the end. That's a satisfaction you don't get much in real life. You feel in control, and that's a great feeling, he says. Well, just like back in the Great Depression and during this time of uncertainty with COVID-19, it's very difficult to find a jigsaw puzzle. You know why? Because the sales are up 370%. Not because we're in lockdown and need something to do, but because we need something to control. With obeying God's commands, whether positive or negative, let's not look at them and have that bad feeling that comes upon us, that God's going to withhold something for us. But rather, let's look at it as submitting control to him, to the one who created us, who gave us life, and who wants us to know life abundantly and know him. Think of water that has no boundaries, right? Like a swamp. It just sits there. All it does is collect mosquitoes. Compare that to water that has boundaries and a pressure washer that has great effect and great power. God's word is like our pressure washer that gives us boundaries so that we can be effective and that we can know eternal life. So let us be gluttons for God. And the next time we hear a do not from God, may we get excited to see where he's leading us. And let him be like Augustine and love God and then do as we please. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for your word that sometimes we don't understand, but we have found that it leads us to life, to eternal life and to knowing you. We thank you for your word and help us, no matter how it comes to us, to respond to it in faith and look forward to the deeper relationship with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.